Open, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 12. This is part two of a message in chapter 12. Now, we're working through the New Testament. That's the part where Jesus came to the planet 2,000 years ago and what happened in his life. And we've walked with Jesus, and then we've walking through the history of the early church. So we're using the book of Acts as the history of the early church, as it's intended. And we're breaking off the book of Acts to go into the various letters that are written during the time of the book of Acts as they're written. So we find ourselves in the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to them, a church in Corinth. And we're going through this thing verse by verse. And we've made it to chapter 12 so far. I'm not going to recap the book, but the teachings are online. Both from Jonathan on Sunday night, quite a while ago, and you can retrieve those online, as well as what we've put online from Sunday mornings recently. So again, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and kind of approaching this teaching with the question, where do I fit? It's a big question for some of us. We have a God-given, God-wired need to belong to something significant. And the most significant entity on the planet is the church. Jesus said, I came to build my church, and through his church he intends to change eternity and bring people into a relationship with him and usher them into an eternal relationship. And so we are among those who are worshiping him first and foremost, and building up one another and sharing the good news with other folks. It's the most significant thing to happen on this planet, far more than the presidency or anything else. Jesus is working through his church. And we see Jesus gathering disciples together, students together, walking with them, living with them, and then he goes back up into heaven, and he leaves behind the church. There's no plan B. That's his plan A. That's it. And folks were not just attending church, they were a part of one another's lives together. Church is not something we attend. I mean, if you're just attending, we encourage you to keep attending. But church is attend your family. Or some of us, I mean, we attend our marriages. That doesn't work well, okay? Just not a good idea. We want to not attend our marriage or our family. This is our spiritual family. This is our eternal family. So we don't attend it. We are part of it. It's the most significant organization on the planet. It's living, it's active, and it's involved in this world. It's an organization that the most important people to it are those who are brand new in it. Even its enemies, we count them as made in the image of God. We love them. We'll sacrifice for their welfare. It's an amazing organization that you want to be a part of if you're checking out Christianity. Most significant thing, when you look back a billion years from now, you'll be glad you were a part of the most significant organization and a significant part of the most significant organization. So the first thing is we want to belong to a significant organization. The most is the church. The second thing is, in each of us, we want to be a significant part of that significant organization. That's hardwired in you, and it's renewed, especially if God has grabbed a hold of your heart. And so we can approach this church, any church, the universal church and local bodies of the universal church, with kind of two extreme attitudes, neither of which are good. One attitude would be, I don't need anybody. Yeah, it's me and God. Yeah, army of one. Yeah, I don't need nobody. That's not cool, because that wasn't even Jesus. I mean, like, nobody lived that way in the New Testament. The other extreme is, and this is where I fear some of us are living. Overall, you're very active in each other's lives, and I love that. But maybe some of us are going the other extreme, no one needs me. Wow. And for some, it's both. You know, nobody needs me. You know what? I don't need anybody. And we can have both those things going on. Both of them are just not good, okay? God has come in the form of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is God in spirit form, and that He is spirit. And when Jesus went back into heaven 10 days later, God comes in a special way and has resided with the church ever since. We are said to be baptized in or by or with the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? Baptized, just hear the word submerge. You're submerged into Christ. Christ is submerged into you. The Holy Spirit is submerged into you. You're submerged into the Holy Spirit. You're tight with God. You're inseparably united. United to Him. He's in you, you're in Him. We're baptized at the moment of our salvation. We're indwelt by God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, remember we read that together? That's why we don't want to, the whole thing of sex outside of marriage and all. I mean, Jesus is inside of me. What I drag my body into, I'm dragging Jesus into. That's a big, big deal. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're inseparably united, secure in Him and His power. We're regenerated or made alive or born again by the Spirit of God. John chapter 3, you must be born again, Jesus says. We're empowered by God's Spirit, given the ability to do what He's calling us to do. We're led by God's Spirit. God resides on the inside and guides us and leads us as we listen for His voice and match that with His Word and the counsel of other godly people. We're filled day by day by the Spirit. What that means is we yield ourselves to we want to know His voice. And as we do that, God fills us or we have just a sense that God is guiding us. If we're in rebellion, He's still there, but it's harder to hear His voice. And we have, God works through us, fruit, which are things that last eternally and things that are character qualities like God. And the list goes on. So God, the point is God's working inside of us. And we want to give expression to that. And He's working inside, not just inside of me individually, but inside of a body and working inside of me in such a way where I have a place in your lives and you have a place in my life and we have a place in each other's lives. And God has shaped each one of us. I love that acronym. If you think of S-H-A-P-E, spiritual gifts. We're going to talk about that today. That's the big illustration. I don't think it's a big idea, but it's a big illustration in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Heart, we have a heart for different types of people and different types of activities. Abilities, we have different abilities. Personality, God's gifted us with different personalities. And experiences, especially going through different experiences, God uses those things to mold us into a given shape. And in that shape, we fit into the body. Again, one of those is spiritual gifts. That's kind of the illustration today. But as we go through, as we said last time, I think when we read 1 Corinthians 12, we can get hung up on, oh, what's my gift? And what's that gift? Is that gift still happening today? Or is that? And we get hung up on that, and we miss the bigger picture. Yeah, spiritual gifts are used here as an illustration, really, of a far bigger picture. And so the gifts listed matter. And God hasn't put Himself in a box and can still do whatever He wants to do and give whatever gifts He wants to give. But don't miss the bigger picture as we go through. So I have scribbled all over your notes. That's my handwriting because I want you to see the bigger ideas. So pull those out. Let's go through them. That was by way of review. This is by way of review. And then we'll dig in a moment. Verse 1 of chapter 12. Concerning spirituals, we translate it spiritual gift. I don't want you to be unaware. In other words, don't blow this off as going, I don't need to know it. No, God says, I want you to understand this stuff. Okay, I want you to know your shape. I want you to know your spiritual gifts. I want you to know where you fit in. And I want you to get the bigger picture of what's going on that spiritual gifts are all about. Again, spiritual gifts are things that God gives to each of us individually that we can use those things to build up one another, to witness to lost people, to worship God, their abilities. And we'll talk more about that in this time and upcoming times. All right. So concerning those things, I want you to know. That's point number one. Point number two is just know this. It's about Jesus. Okay. If somebody's operating in quote a spiritual gift, and inherent in that is not the message Jesus is Lord, and then you can doubt that's the Holy Spirit. That might be some other spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. Okay. It's about them. About their glory, about whatever, The big idea is Jesus is Lord, and that's going to come through in whatever gift I'm operating in. Okay? That's verse 3. Verse 4, we have the Trinity. One Spirit, one Lord, one God. One Holy Spirit, one Lord Jesus Christ, one God the Father. And they are three, and they operate in our lives in different ways, but they're the same person. There's different, three different persons, one essence. All have the same abilities, I should put it that way. But they've chosen to operate in our lives in different ways. And so they've given us abilities that we operate in each other's lives in different ways, though we're one. So the big point in verse 4, 5, and 6 is that we are diverse because that's how God has given us different gifts, and yet we are unified because we're united in Him, and those gifts are to work together to make us one. This is all by way of review. I'd be reading the verses and expositing them. Verse 7, to each one, this is three huge phrases. Verse 7, turn your attention there. To each one is given. That means you weren't, if you're a believer, you're not left out. Okay? You're not left out. You're given spiritual abilities by God. You're not left out. And if you come away from this going, I still don't know what my spiritual gift is, don't sweat that. The point is, whatever shape you have, are you focused on, number one, glorifying Jesus? He is Lord. And then number two, building up one another. Okay, be it through your actions, be it through your words, one or the other or both, is that what's happening? Is you have a driving desire to use whatever abilities God's given to you, whether you're not sure if it's a spiritual gift or not, are you using that to build up others and to glorify Jesus? That's the big idea. And as we do that, we kind of discover in the course of time, and with the counsel of others, we kind of discover indeed how God has shaped us. So verse 7, to each one, and that includes you, okay, you're needed. The manifestation of the Spirit, what does that mean? The Spirit is invisible, God is invisible, but He is seen through our words and our actions. That's how He's chosen to do things. Wow, what an honor. For the common good is the next phrase. Whatever I have in the way of a shape, God's given to me that shape for the good of you and the good of other people. All right? So to each one of us, nobody's left out. The manifestation of the Spirit, God wants to manifest Himself through our words and our actions for the common good, for the building up of other folks. A little illustration, verse 8. To one is given the word of wisdom, another the word of knowledge. It says, it didn't say wisdom. It says the word of wisdom. I think I mentioned last time. Probably that might be sometimes given to people that aren't even very wise. It's just God gives a word, you know, of wisdom to somebody who's maybe even a brand new believer, not very wise at all. But choosing to give just that little word that the congregation needs to hear about some use of knowledge. Or just simply knowing something, you know, a word of knowledge that we've all kind of overlooked or forgotten or whatever. It seems to be the case with that faith, you know, the ability to have a Joshua, a Caleb, somebody that's inspiring us going, hey, it's a big thing, but look, God's called us to it. We're trusting God. And there's inspiration that comes out of that in the body. Verse 10, the working of miracles. I didn't mention this last time, I don't think. The disciples, Jesus calm the storms and walked on water and that kind of thing. With the disciples, what did they do? Seemed like there was healing going on through them, miraculous healing. You know, like a guy's blind his whole life and boom, he can see 20/20, okay? You know, couldn't walk his whole life and boom, he's dancing, okay? Miraculous stuff that doesn't compare to most of the stuff we hear are to be miracles today. More about that later on. We got that kind of stuff going on, healing, and that's another gift. And then the only other work of power that I can kind of think about in the whole New Testament is the battle against the demonic. And so probably that's what's referred to here. Okay, think about it. Okay? And maybe more on that later, not right now. All right? Where are we at here? The effecting of miracles, or it's literally the working of powers. Instead of miracles, good translation would be powers. It doesn't sound as good, but yeah, that's the Greek. Next is prophecy. A lot about that in chapter 14, still to come. This is chapter 12, so we're going to get to prophecy. I'll talk more about that later. Distinguishing of spirits. In other words, there's that whole spirit. You know, who's speaking through the person? Is this like a demonic thing, or is this like the Spirit of God? You know, or his own. You know, he had pizza last night. You know, what's going on? And so some, given that ability, evidently some various kinds of, instead of tongues, just to put right in languages. It's less weird, and that's the intent of the of God giving us the word here that we translate commonly tongues. Probably should be translated languages, various kinds of languages, and more about that in chapter 14, so I don't want to deal with that right now. And then interpretation of those languages for the good of the body. Languages seem to be something from a spirit of a man or a woman to glorify God in the midst of the body in some way. And we, from here, looked at 1 Peter chapter 4, and we saw two big classes of spiritual gifts: speaking and doing. Kind of the two big deals. And so you might be more of a kind of a doer kind of person. You're not really into, yeah, you don't know what to say. You just, you know, but you love serving folks, just doing. That's very cool. That's kind of one class of spiritual gifts. The other is speaking. Speaking in a way that glorifies Jesus and is building up other people. So one or the other, you might be kind of more in one class, more in the other class. Even our deacons, we look at that way. We don't have a cookie cutter thing for our deacons. You know, some are more going to be more, you know, doing kind of stuff. They're not feel a little less comfortable speaking. Others are going to be doing more talking and you know, not doing as much doing maybe. And so that's the way all of us are. Okay. And now let's go ahead and move on from here. I think that's where we left off last time. And so verse 11. Here's where we pick it up. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, everything he's been talking about. And by the way, that's not a complete list of spiritual gifts that we just read through. We know because other gifts are given later on in this passage, in this chapter, and also in other places like Romans chapter 12. Those might be gifts that some of you better relate to is Romans, just trying to jot it down, Romans chapter 12. It'd be a great read for you. Some of you are going to better relate to that list. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, leadership kind of folks, you're going to probably better relate to that list. So there doesn't seem to be an attempt anywhere. Those are the four passages, by the way, of spiritual gifts in the Bible, besides the few illustrations of them in the Gospels and Acts. It doesn't seem to be an attempt anywhere to go, this is the 20 gifts or the 30 gifts. I know there's books about that. I know preachers talk about that. I'm kind of like going, I don't think there's an attempt to do that. I don't think we know how many there are, and I don't know that it really matters. The big idea in the passage is whatever spiritual gifts God is working in you, be it the more miraculous kind of focus on in this chapter, or maybe what we call less miraculous, I hate to use that word, in Romans chapter 12. Regardless, are you using what God's given to you? Am I using what God's given to me, what abilities, speaking or doing, to build up others and to glorify Jesus? That's the big idea. Okay? That's my involvement in the body. And just kind of discovering what God has done, is doing, or maybe will do as we move along. All right, so, and what do? You just, you know, just man up, woman up, and begin to spend time with other people. Small groups is a great place to discover your spiritual gifts. As you just hear about the stories of others, and you get to know them, and you fall in love, you know, that's a great, and you just kind of give expression of what God's laying on your heart. These things are figured out. Or join a ministry. Those things are listed online, or also out in the foyer. Or just check out one of the ministries, or two or three of them, and see if you don't fit. All right? So, verse 11. One and the same Spirit, in other words, here's unity, works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. I don't know why he gave me the gift to be in a pastor. Don't have a clue. Weird. Kind of strange. Like, really? Not me? You know, nobody saw that one coming. Like, nobody. Okay? I don't know. I hated to talk in front of two people, let alone three or four or five, or, you know, I mean, just scared to death. I don't know. but for whatever reason, that was God's choice. And so as I God grabbed a hold of my heart, began to follow him, just going, you know, all that matters is just like living for God, you know. And that was about, 36 years ago, something like that. And just started going, I don't even like people, you know, but I guess I got to get involved in people. So, you know what I'm saying? And you just start, you go, I'm scared to death. I am terrified. I'm good with this Christianity thing where it's like me and God. You know what I'm saying? I don't need nobody, and I don't need nobody needs me. And you just start kind of going, yeah, but that's not the Bible. And so you just read the Bible, and you go, well, that's the way I'm supposed to live. And so as you pursue people, loving people and honoring Jesus, as you do that, God just starts opening up, you know, what it is that he's calling you to do. But if you sit back as a coward, it's not going to happen, you know. So you get involved. Go, if you've never been to a small group, check out one of these after the gathering today, or one of them during the week, okay? Or again, a ministry or whatever. Come talk to one of us, and we'll sit down with everything that's going on, and kind of get you checking out some smaller groups where you can kind of get to know people, they get to know you, and it's terrifying, but it's very cool, okay? But the gifts, man, that's his choice, verse 11. Verse 12, even as the body is one, and I think he's talking here about a physical body, kind of like look at your body right now, kind of check it out. You know, you got like a bunch of different, you know, fingers and hands, and I got like a bump right there. Why do I got a bump there? Anyway, we got like, every once in a while, you got to check out your body. Man, I got a big old bump right there. You want to kind of start to go, man, this is kind of cool. I mean, NASA spends, you know, billions of dollars on designing like an arm, you know, like a claw. Kind of, you know, and like, look at what you got, okay? So body's very, because a great illustration, one of the big illustrations in the Bible. And when he talks about the body in verse 12, he's talking, on the one hand, the universal body of Christ. And I have a place, and you have a place, in the big universal, that's every brother and sister around the globe. And at the same time, in the design of God, he has instituted that there be local expressions of the big universal body. So you have a place in the big universal body, and that's why we got ministries focused on reaching unengaged people groups in the world, and focusing on persecuted brothers and sisters in the world, and that kind of thing, because we want to be involved in the big universal body. If a Christian is suffering in Laos, that's my brother. I mean, that matters like a lot. Maybe there's something I can do about that, something we can do about that, okay? So it's a big universal body where we fit in, but it's also the local body by God's prayer. So it's both, okay? And so you can look at the big universal as like a human body, and you can look at a local body as a kind of a microcosm of that as a human body as well. That's the illustration here. Verse 12, even as the body, the human body is one, it's like one body, yet has many members, you know, fingers and toes and eyes and all that kind of stuff. And all the members of the body, though they are many, like a bunch, are one body and hopefully kind of function together. Check this out. So also is Christ. This is huge. Where is the physical body of Jesus Christ today? On the one hand, you can read like Revelation chapter 5. Jesus has that physical body, that resurrected body, has gone into heaven. It is at the throne of God in heaven, that physical body. Jesus is in it, and he's outside of it. Okay, but also his physical body is in another location. Some of those are in heaven, and whatever kind of intermediate state bodies they have. I don't want to go into that right now. But let's just focus here. If you've trusted Christ, you're a part of that body. We need to think that way. Okay? When Jesus was here, every spiritual gift you read in the Bible, here or Romans 12 or wherever, Jesus was like totally manifested that gift. Okay? No matter what it was. Even tongues. Jesus was the ultimate worshiper. Okay? So all of it, Jesus manifested perfectly. And he's kind of the guy that like didn't need nobody. Okay? The Trinity alone. But for whatever reason, the Trinity has chosen to create us. And so as Jesus was like the perfect manifestation of every gift, we together, universally and in local churches, we are given different gifts, one of us an eye, an ear, a mouth, you know, and we'll talk about that as the passage rolls on. And together, we are the physical body of Jesus Christ. As the some of the leaders talked to me last night, as they always do after an event, and they're so appreciative because they want us to keep serving, but and for other reasons too. I mean, they really admire this body. They totally admire. They don't get it. They keep. I don't think we've ever had an event where they go, "And why do you guys do what you do?" I don't. That happened last night. They keep asking the question, "Why do you do that stuff?" And it's kind of like this. It's kind of a mind smoker. They don't get it, and yet they're looking at the body as what a cool entity. Most of them not yet come in this direction, but we continue to express the gospel to them. That comment was going to go somewhere. I can't remember where it was going to go. Anyway, let's move back to this, okay? I am, by the way, I'm exhausted. I'm like really tired right now. But hopefully, okay, pray for me, the thoughts will stay together, okay? I was giddy last night saying things that are totally embarrassing. Verse 13, and I wasn't drinking. I drank water. Verse 13. By one Spirit, is that where I'm at right now? This is going really. Oh, I'm on verse 12, right? So also is Christ. Now, he could say so also is the body into verse 12, but he uses so also is Christ because what? We're Jesus' physical body. I mean, we're it. And so, yeah, that's where I was kind of going with that. You know, so as we are doing what we're doing like yesterday, that's the physical, but they can see that. People can see that. They don't get it, but they can see that. They can see love. They can see servanthood. They can see the heart behind the service. The letters I read last week from folks, you know, people see that we are the manifest, and this is like heavy, but we're like the manifestation of Jesus on the planet. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome responsibility. And that's why one of the reasons we want to function together, because, I mean, we're the Jesus that people see. We're it. It's not me. I'm not the Jesus people see. We together, illustration, we together are is the Jesus people sees. Okay? God can't do all that stuff, and you can, and nobody can, and so we all have different gifts. All right? But working together, we're the Jesus. We're the physical Jesus that people see. He's inside of us. I mean, he really. Don't get weird on me. We don't worship ourselves, okay? It's Jesus inside of us. And so as I treat you, I'm treating Jesus. As I treat the body of Christ, I'm treating Jesus, okay? And so, like I said, don't take this too far. Don't get weird. But what an amazing thing to think that Jesus inhabits us corporately together and uses us together as ears and eyes and hands and feet, you know, to be his representative. His I mean, that's the Jesus on the planet, is you and me, as he inhabits us. Okay, again, don't get weird with that. Verse 12. What is one, many members, so also is Christ. Verse 13. For by one Spirit, grab a hold of this, those of you who are searching for a second baptism. Okay, the book of Acts, transitionary book. You got to be careful. I don't want to go through all the passages there. You know, it's a transitionary book. Okay, but this is that. This is now the church has been formed, and this is the procedure from here on out. There is, if you're looking for a second baptism, don't do that. Okay, you're not going to get it. Okay, you'll manufacture it. Other people help you manufacture it. It's not going to happen. Okay, verse 13. By or in one Spirit, you can translate it either way, by or in one Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, we were, at least most of us, baptized into one body. No. The word all means everybody. Okay? So at the moment you experience faith in Christ, that means God regenerated your heart, you were baptized submerge. Again, when you see the word baptize, you say it's just easy to read. You just write into the word submerge. You baptizo, that's what a Greek person would have heard back in this time. You were submerged into Jesus. Jesus was submerged into you. That's why you read the expression, I don't know how many times in the New Testament, you are in Christ. Christ is in you. We are in Christ. Christ is in us. Probably better put, mostly in the plural. Okay? So we're inseparably united. Jesus is submerged into us. We're submerged into Jesus. We're united. We're his body. He's indwelling us, as we read back in chapter 6 of the book of 1 Corinthians. We read that. And so who was baptized? Who was submerged? All of us. And I didn't do that to you when I dunked you underwater. Okay? These hands are not that magical. Okay? And it wasn't me. Okay, it's not talking about water baptism. Water baptism is a picture. There's one baptism, and that's spirit baptism. That's a baptism that God does, and that's why we're said to be in Christ. I didn't do it to you. Okay, so kind of get that out of your brain. It's submerged by one spirit. Who did it? One spirit. And so we're told, for example, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, when John the Baptist is on the scene, John the Baptist, the forerunner before Jesus, pointing people to the king, said this, he, that is the Messiah, will baptize you in or with or by the Holy Spirit. So who does the baptizing? Jesus does. Okay? Into the Holy Spirit. But it's also right to say, Romans chapter 6, the beginning of that chapter, the Holy Spirit, I'm just going to use that expression, I'll just put it this way, we were baptized into Christ. So we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's baptized in us. We're baptized into Jesus. Jesus is baptized into us. We're all inseparably united. We're united to the Godhead. We're in the Godhead. The Godhead's in us. When I say Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Okay? Do I understand everything I'm saying? Of course not. I'm dead tired. But, you know, that's the Bible. Okay? All of God is in us, and all of us is in God. And that's, how cool is that? And so we are Christ on this planet. Verse 13, by one Spirit, in or by or with, but probably in is the best translation, one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. That's the one baptism, Ephesians 4. It's one baptism. That's it. Okay, you got it. All right. If you're a Christian, you got it. Nothing to search for. Whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Okay? We were all made to drink of one Spirit. Your mind might go back to chapter 10 of this letter, going, you know, as the Israelites drank of one drank of Christ in the Old Testament, so we also, we get our life, water's life-giving. We get our life, our sustenance from the Lord Jesus Christ, from the Holy Spirit. Verse 14, he's living water. Okay, verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. Kind of making sure we get this. We look at our physical body, a whole bunch of different parts. And now I'm going to illustrate this out. This is, I don't know. I don't explain this a whole lot. It's pretty simple. The physical body. If the foot should say your foot was able to think and talk, sometimes I think my feet are. They scream sometimes. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, now you can kind of picture that. Right? If you're a foot and you're glancing over at the hand, you're kind of going, well, this is a bum deal. This is not good. Like I get dirty and take the hands, and then they get like all the joy of touching. Like, wait a minute, this isn't working well. Well, you know, that's God's prerogative to give us different gifts, and we don't despise the gift that we have. So it's just an illustration going, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body. I mean, look at the glorious hand. They got rings on, and I'm a foot, and I'm dirty. They had sandals commonly back at that time. Feet got dirty. It is not for that reason, because of the thinking of the foot, any less a part of the body. The foot's wrong. Okay? Bad attitude. Not good. Another illustration, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, you know, some of us have our ears covered over with hair and whatnot, and they're kind of off to the side. We don't usually walk up to somebody and look at the ear, typically, you know. You look at the eye is the kind of the pretty thing. You know, if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, and nobody needs me. It's not for that reason, because of poor thinking, any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, just a big old eyeball rolling around, You know, I mean, that's the language. You just kind of picture it as you're reading the Bible. Just picture what's there. It's if God made us and like we're all just big eyeballs, that wouldn't work well. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would smell be? We need the snozzola too. I mean, the whole, you know, right? All of it working together. But now, here's the illustration. Here's the point. God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body, that's local body, universal body, as he desires. And so instead of saying, nobody needs me, I need to say, by the providence, that means God's in charge of everything, by the providence of God, I am in this universal body, at this place in time in the universe, by the providence of God, and I have a place in the universal body, and by the providence of God, you know, I'm stuck with these folks, which are great folks, okay? And I have a place in this local body by the providence of God. And I can't possibly say nobody needs me. That's rebellion. That's arrogance. That's horrible. And so if we've had that mindset, it's time to knock that off. That's just not cool. Okay? Instead, step out, begin doing, begin speaking as you step out in courage with other believers. And those gifts, in the course of time, will be found. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? If it was a hand or a foot or an eye or whatever. Okay? Verse 20. And now there are many members and one body. That was points number 8 and 9 on the outline. I'm not numbering the points because you have an outline in front of you. Boy, if you didn't have an outline, this is going to be kind of a mess, I guess. I probably ought to be speaking the points out. But they're in front of you. They're just things circled in the text. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. In other words, here's the other attitude. One is, you know, nobody needs me. I'm just a foot. But on the other hand, this attitude of I don't need others, that's not cool either. Verse 21, the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, I'm better than you. No, it's crazy. I need every part of the body if I'm an eye. Or again, the head to the feet, I don't have any need of you. Well, no, I mean, yeah, we need our feet. Verse 22. On the contrary, now this is a really cool section. It is much truer that the members of the body would seem to be weaker are necessary. We would agree with that. The weaker parts still matter. The pinky still matters. And he's going to use three expressions here in verse 22, 23, and 24. Notice verse 22. Weaker members of the body, physical body, and therefore the spiritual body. Verse 23, less honorable members. And then verse 23, the end of it, unseemly or less presentable members. So weaker, the less honorable, the less seemly, or the less presentable. And kind of, I think he's kind of lumping those together. And so he says this in verse 22. It is much truer, in other words, this is really important for us to get, that the members of the body, be it you or be it somebody else, it applies both ways, would seem to be weaker. I'm not as strong as somebody else or a bunch of people. You know, I don't have the strong oratory. Or, you know, okay, you're weaker, okay. You're necessary. Verse 23. Those members of the body which we deem less honorable, people don't, you know, give accolades over, you know, the back of your head or your, you know, the back of your neck or whatever. These we bestow more abundant honor. And that would be true of parts that maybe only your spouse sees, for example. And our unseemly or less presentable members, maybe the same kind of thing, you figure it out, I don't know, just the ones that we cover up, come to have more abundant seemliness or modesty. Those are our seemly members, the more presentable ones, don't have any need of it. But what's the point? You know, in our body, regardless of what body parts are being talked about here, you use your imagination to kind of figure it out. Think about your body. Every part of your body, I mean, you know, what part of your body do you want to give up? What part of your body you go, I don't need that part? Maybe an appendix. right? Maybe, you know what I'm saying? Because again, these are illustrations, and you know, they might. But for the most part, if your penis had a problem, I don't know. I'm keeping mine. You know, I still have it. I think, don't I? Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I guess I'm tired. Okay, I think I still have my appendix. Okay, you know, I like. I don't know. I like all the parts. Okay, and some of them I spend extra time kind of covering up in some way and taking care of, and I wash all of them, and or most of them, maybe not. I wash some of them. And so we take care of our body. I need every person, and you need every person in this body. Verse 24. Whereas our seemly members have no need of it, God has so. Notice this. God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor. This is the example of God to the member that lacked. Now, here's where all that's going. Here's the application. That there should be no division in the body. Didn't we read that recently? Like, that's a big deal to God. Like, don't take the Lord's Supper if you're out of sorts with somebody else. Remember that part? That would be the end of chapter 11. Yeah, there's a passage right before this, wasn't it? Like, that's a major deal to God. So God's, throughout this letter, unity. It's okay to be different. It's okay to have different ideas. Okay, you know, but for there to be unity and for us to love one another, regardless, that's a huge deal to God. It's not a small matter. It's huge. And so here he says the same thing. If we got somebody who's weaker, a little less honorable, a little less presentable in some way, whatever, more behind the scenes kind of a person, man, that person is just as valuable to us as anybody else. No division in the body. I don't need those kind of people, but these kind of people, man, they're leadership types or whatever, they're movers and shakers, so I got to kiss up to them, and I don't really need them people. That's ridiculous. Verse 25. Okay, whichever side of that you're on. Verse 25, there should be no division in the body. That's just horribly ugly to God. And, point number 15, that the members should have the same care for one another. So whether you're a pastor in this church or whether you're behind the scenes doing stuff that nobody ever sees. Like, I love the people in the nursery, for example. You know, like, hey, so-and-so wasn't in church today, were they? No, they were serving in the nursery. Yeah, I mean, that's huge. Okay, things like that. Wow. No division at all. Same care for every person. Nobody's small in the body of Christ. No small members. Everybody matters. That's an attitude we need to have. Verse 26, if one... Now, is this true of you and true of me? This is now really, really honing in. Yeah, I heard that stuff back in Sunday school. Yeah, I got it all. For me, this is like the it all kind of funneled down to verse 26 for me. I'm looking at this, I'm praying through this, and I'm going, I'm kind of going, yeah, I've heard all, Verse 26, is this true of me? If, take it all of that as a context, remember, all of that should breed this attitude, verse 26. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Local level, universal level. Is that you? Bigger question, is that me? How often do I cry? I mean, really, really cry? I'm talking about really seriously cry. Someone gets diagnosed with what appears to be terminal cancer. Yeah, you trust God, and I trust God. But there's loss. Yeah, I can rejoice that maybe if God doesn't heal you, you're going to be with Him sooner than me. There's some jealousy even in that. But your spouse, other people, us, there's going to be a lot of pain involved in your death if God shouldn't heal you. Do I really weep over things like that? I just kind of go, well, glad it wasn't my family. What do you mean? No, it's my body. It's my family. That's my family. It's going to be people hurting like really, really bad. If I am truly a part of the body of Christ, am I crying? If I'm not, I need to really seriously sit back and go, I may need to prayerfully work through this passage. and go, yeah, I got it in my head. Well, I don't, really? So that's me too. You know, there's been too many times where I've heard of things and it hasn't grabbed me the way that it should. What's wrong? You know, so verse 26, if one member, be it a foot or be it an eye, I mean, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with? Is that cross point fellowship? And globally, this can get overwhelming, I agree. But globally, what's the appreciation for the persecuted church ministry folks that are trying to educate us on what's happening to brothers and sisters around the globe? Man, that's my brother, that's my sister. If they hurt, if they're in Syria and they're hurting, you know, I got a brother, I got a sister in Syria, spiritual brother or sister. You know, am I hurting with them? And so, Jesus was he got it, probably better than you and me, probably. You know, whole eternal life thing, and you die, you got to be with it. He probably got all that. And yet, if you hung around with him, as the disciples did, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And nobody needed to walk up to him. Now, Jesus, you got a wrong perspective here. Hey, if the guy dies, you know he's going to be... No, I mean, Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Much weeping was in his life. He's God. He knew everything's going to work out. He knew that. And yet he cried. Maybe he felt what he's expressing here to us. Maybe he actually felt that. Maybe he still actually feels that way today. And maybe he's weeping because I don't. And he wants me to be like him. Now, let's get happier. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Does that happen? In a sense, that might be even a little rougher. Because secretly on the inside, you know, there's fallen nature, there's a little bit of competition. One of the ugliest things inside of us is you got a brother or sister, maybe not part of the body, but part of the universal body. They're at work, and promotion's coming up, and the morning happens when it's going to be made known who gets it, and it's your brother. And you go, yes! And then you go into your office, and you go, why is that? That's a fallen nature thing. It's inside of you. It's inside of me. We all experience it. We got to say no to it. We all experience it. One member is honored, right? You're a small group leader, and all of a sudden, one of the small group leaders gets all the accolades for some big thing that small group had, an outreach thing, and they got, you know, and you got all the, and you're going, well, I've been at this longer than they have, and one member's honored, all the others feel that same joy. Gosh, that's hard, isn't it? And it's right. And so, my level of joy for the good things, especially the ways that the other believers are honored, where is it at? Where I see myself as a part of the body, and if one part is honored, the entire body is honored. If one member suffers, I hit my finger with a hammer, my pinky. Somehow, my whole body screams. Okay, okay. I got to end right here. Verse 27. This is where I'm going to draw a line. Now you are. Mike, if you would, go ahead and come on up. Grab the gravity of this. Verse 27. We'll close with this verse. You are Christ's body and individually members of it. What's he saying there? Where's the body of Christ? Look around. Universally and locally. And you're a member of it. You might be a little weaker. You might be a foot instead of a hand. Whatever. You might not even know what body part. It's okay. But you're a member of the most significant organization on the planet, And you're a significant member, if you choose to be, of the most significant organization on the planet, the church. Jesus said, I came to build my church. And if we allow him to, God continues to grow us to a place where we truly are beginning to feel more and more what each other feels. And what a marvel and a wonder to experience that kind of body life. Father, thank you so much for the great privilege to trust you, to follow you, to know that you indwell each of us. We're spirit on the inside, and you are spirit, and every person here who has trusted Christ as Savior and Lord is indwelt by you, inseparably united together. And together you make us a body. Thank you for the great privilege and the great responsibility. At the same time, there might be some here kind of looking in from the outside, going, it sounds too good to be true, but something on the inside bears witness that, you know, that's right. Maybe you've been burned in a church somewhere, a supposed church, whatever. That voice on the inside is going, this is right. This is the spiritual family. This is Jesus' plan. And I want to be in this most significant organization, and I want to be a significant part of this most significant organization. Help me take that step, Lord Jesus, to trust you as my Savior and Lord, and then to become part of a local body, perhaps this one. Don't know all that means, but Jesus, right now, I trust you. If this is in your heart, I trust you, Jesus, as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for giving me that ability and turning the lights on. And Jesus, I'm scared, but I want to be a part of your family in a significant way. I think I'm insignificant, but you say I'm not. So guide me. Have your way in me. I'm yours. I'm yours. Amen.